Can't you see it? The world running on EVs and renewable energy? Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Whether you want to
buy, buy, buy
in a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market, Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
Tell your smart speaker to play 93.7 WEEI.
This is Jones and Keefe
on WEEI.
6 in a row, the Bruins have lost. They fall 4-1 last night in Tampa with the moms on the trip, no less, Keefe.
It's a mom trip. They were at morning skate. They're wearing the sweaters.
I saw the whole thing. Marchand's mom and McAvoy's mom were given the starting lineup last night.
Fun.
Before the game.
Good stuff.
Didn't change much.
Mom trip.
Mom trip. 0-1 with the moms.
Yeah, no, it didn't help.
Not so hot. They have
tomorrow.
The Florida Panthers coming up.
Yeah, tomorrow afternoon.
Oh.
It's a 1 o'clock game, so it won't, like, Billy brought this up. It won't go up against any of the football.
Bruins, wild card. Nice little sports day
there
tomorrow.
There you go. Have a Saturday.
College football playoff tonight. So the Bruins are struggling on the ice, as you saw. That first goal was just brutal last night. I mean, I was back and forth between the college football playoff, but I saw this. Pastrnak into the offensive zone on a power play, turns it over.
Yeah.
Break out the other way.
Does it get to the point where they turn down power plays?
Maybe.
They got to be there soon.
Maybe they should. I mean, that's not that far from what Razor told us yesterday.
Like,
yeah.
He's like, when they're on the power, they're like, oh, no.
So Pastrnak, offensive zone turnover. Lorai's just lost. So was it Cirelli who had the break? I forget. Mm-hmm. And he breaks out. He misses the net. Huge rebound off the backboard. Swayman's lost. Lorai's lost. Tampa pumps it in. They add another goal by the end of the second period.
Yeah.
Bruins make it 2-1 early in the third. Mm-hmm. Lorai scores. Empty netter, another goal after that, big melee at the end of the game, and the Bruins have lost 6 in a row and are, obviously trending in the wrong direction. So what are the reasons? Why could the Bruins be doing this? Maybe it's just an interim coach and the shot in the arm wore off after Jim Montgomery was fired and immediately hired by the St. Louis Blues. Maybe there's roster issues and Don Sweeney has to make trades, which we've surmised and talked through here on Jones and Keefe. But Scoops Keefe.
Yes.
With a tremendous, impeccable track record.
True.
What are you hearing on the Bruins, Keith?
Well, what I'm hearing is this. First of all, what we can all see is that they're a mess on the ice, right? They've lost 6 in a row. But what I'm hearing is they're also a mess off the ice. Apparently, the locker room is a disaster, and David Pastrnak is at the center of that. David Pastrnak has told the team he doesn't want to be on a line with Brad Marchand, and it may stem from Brad Marchand calling out Pastrnak for some of his play throughout the year. So, Pastrnak, maybe your best player, 60-goal scorer, all that stuff. Also, the main reason why it is a disaster inside the locker room.
They won't play on a line together.
Pastrnak does not want to play with Marchand.
And they're not playing together.
Well, no.
Well, are they getting any power play time together? Good point.
I think they may have this is what he is saying, and so I'm sure, you know, the coach doesn't have to do everything he says, but that's what
shuffled the lines,
correct,
though. It's Pastrnak is, no longer playing with Marchand. It's Marchand and Coyle and Lindholm.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, wow.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that Marchand was a little mean to him. That's on brand for this team.
Yeah.
The coach is a little mean to you. Marchand's a little mean to you.
But how I read that is, all right, Brad Marchand's the captain.
Yep.
He has seen plenty of times where Pastrnak has either, you know, done something stupid in the defensive end or whatever else. It has probably called him out on it, and I'm guessing he doesn't like being called out.
Well, he deserves to be called out for last night.
Right.
Again, offensive zone turnover on the power play, lazy, pointless turnover that leads to a shorthanded goal the other way, and instead of going up 1-0, you're down 1-0, and that's why you've lost 5 in a row. Maybe you could chalk it up as a player trying to do too much, or you could chalk it up to a player who just doesn't care. And so Marchand feels that way, if we're insinuating here. You're not reporting that. But Marchand feels a certain way about Pastrnak and how seriously he's taking things.
Mm-hmm.
He's called him out. Pastrnak doesn't like it. Pastrnak doesn't want to play on a line with Brad Marchand.
Yeah, which you would think would be successful. Like, I mean, you could argue both ways, right? You could say, hey, split those guys up to your better players and do that. And then, or, like, there are times where, you know, they would always, when you'd play them together and you'd hope to, whoever the center is on that line, you'd have really good success, but that hasn't been the case.
So this isn't your report, but I'll word it this way.
Okay, go ahead.
Pastrnak and Marchand hate each other. And so that's what's going on in the locker room. Part of the issue for the Bruins is that arguably your two best players, or, you know, your captain and your best player don't like each other, aren't seeing eye to eye.
This to me,
if you want to soften it.
When I first heard this, it just reminded me of 80% of NBA teams that can't get out of their own way. And you're like, oh, who's the problem? Oh, James Harden, like your best player. He's the problem. Or like Russell Westbrook's the problem, like your best player. Like, how do you fix that? Like, what do you do with that?
Well, it does ring true in that the Bruins' best players are their problem for sure.
Yeah.
Pasternak's not having a good year. Marchand, who I love, not having a good year. Swayman's having a disaster of a year.
Yeah.
McAvoy, bad year. So, like, who else am I missing?
But then even the other guys, even like the next level down, those guys are all having like horrible years. Like, those guys, I would say across the board, aren't having good years, but it's not, maybe with the exception of Swayman, it's not like crazy off their normal scoring output and things like that. But some of the other guys is just a mess.
So,
how do they fix it?
Scoopage on the Bruins from Scoops Keefe. It's not just bad on the ice, it's bad in the room, particularly between Pasternak and Brad Marchand. So, what do you do about it if you're the Bruins?
Well, I don't know. I mean, you have an interim coach in place.
I have one.
You trade one of them?
Yeah, you trade Marchand.
So you embolden the guy who's probably wrong in this sense. I don't think Marchand's doing anything wrong.
Yeah, but
based on what I've heard,
you embolden the guy who you're hitched to.
You are hitched to.
I mean, Marchand is a free agent at the end. No one loves Marchand more than me. It's not possible.
Yeah,
but he's not overly productive. He's older. He is your captain. And
but doesn't Pasternak then say, like, see, don't anybody ever tell me what to do?
Okay, well, then are you trading Pasternak?
No.
Me neither.
No.
Like, I like Marchand, but I'm not an idiot. Pasternak's the better player.
Yeah.
And so Pasternak, I want here long term.
Or do you force him to play on a line together and say, figure it out.
Figure it out.
Your guys' success.
You two get in a room together. You're in a room and figure it out.
Yeah.
Right. Lock him in there.
Nobody leaves with a firm handshake.
Yeah. I mean,
and an agreement between the two because they are your two best forwards.
You're not wrong. I'm going soft on Pasternak
and
maybe even emboldening him.
I know.
But yeah, that's what I do. I trade Marchand. And I'm not even telling you you get a lot, but all right. It's your team now, Pasta. And then let's see how that looks. And if that doesn't work, then you really have big problems.
I think
and
that's not going to work.
Then you're moving on. But, like, am I trading the guy who can score 50 goals? I know he's not on pace for it this year.
No.
Am I trading that guy? Hell no. No, I'm not. Sorry.
No,
and I love Marchand. But I'm not trading the guy who can give me 50 goals. I'm not doing that.
He is on pace for 32.
Okay.
You know, like, he is off his normal pace. He's right around a point per game guy this year, Pasternak is. But it hasn't been great. And there are plenty of other times where you get annoyed with him, whether it's, you know, turning the puck over or whatever else. By no means a perfect player. I think he is your best player. But,
yeah,
issues, plenty of issues. And if Brad Marchand feels like, all right, I'm the captain now, or not to go Captain Phillips on you, but maybe that was a line. Maybe that's what pushed him over the edge.
Maybe encourage Shane Plymouth. Don't encourage Shane Plymouth with Captain Phillips.
Do you think he poked him with the butt end of his stick? He's like, I am the captain now. The posture, I was like, what is this? This is outrageous.
Yeah.
But he is, and so it's different. So there may be,
I'm the captain now.
Oh, God. We're gonna,
there may have been times.
Shane and Plymouth online, too.
Like, earlier in his career, maybe Bergeron would say something, and maybe Bergeron could say it in a way that Pasternak wouldn't freak out about. Whereas maybe Marchand, my guess, this is a complete guess, maybe a little bit more blunt with how his messages are going to come across.
Well, and look,
I think should be a good thing, but some of these hockey, we're learning that the hockey players are way softer.
No.
Yeah, way, way softer
no, Keith.
Than had been originally reported.
No.
Jake DeBrusk is still the one that
No. They're the toughest athletes on the planet, Keith, and you'd never rather have a beer with anyone than these guys.
Great point by the text line. This is usually one of my fallbacks. Ask me again how they can fix this.
How can they fix it?
Pizza party. They need to throw a giant pizza party. It is the mom's trip. Maybe they can order a bunch of pies, bring them in 2-liter sodas.
Nice.
This could work. I brought this up to Danny Ainge when we interviewed him years ago and the Celtics were going through like a funk.
Yeah.
And I was like, have you considered a pizza party? And he didn't laugh. He legit didn't laugh. Nice. He's like, not a bad idea.
Not a bad idea.
He's like, people are always happy at a pizza party.
Yep.
Solo cups, 2-liter soda. I mean, you think Pasternak and Marchand can possibly be holding paper plates, eating pizza, mad at each other? Impossible.
Tons of pizza.
Pizza. How bad is it?
It would really speak volumes if they were still mad at
each other.
Then, like, oh, you got the last slice of pepperoni.
Then you know.
Yeah, then it's like.
Then you know.
We can't
all
fix it. But you've tried everything.
We have.
If you throw a pizza party, you've tried everything.
It's like, guys, I'm out of ideas.
Yeah.
Don Sweeney, what do you do?
Turned over every stone.
Yeah.
And, yeah, guys, I used the break glass in case of emergency. Did you do the pizza party?
So,
I did the pizza party.
Let me ask you this.
Jacobs won't pay for a pizza party. That's the problem.
That's
he's
true.
Not going to do that.
No, he's not
I got to foot the bill for this? No,
thanks.
Little Nero, sir, I have your pizza.
Leave it on the doorstep and get the hell out of here.
That's true. He was not having a good time.
No.
But is there any chance? We kind of talked about when Jim Montgomery saw the end was near, that's when he benched Pasternak. That's when he grabbed Marchand on the bench. That's when he kind of was like, all right, if I'm going down, I'm going down swinging.
Yep.
Let's change it. If you're Don Sweeney, you feel like you're getting kind of pushed into a corner here. Like, I don't know how much more rope he has. Does he do something drastic, or is he even allowed to do something drastic?
Well, good question.
Because those are two guys that I don't think he could just trade and then tell the owner that, hey, we just traded Pastrnak, we just traded Marchand.
Well, you're right. He can't do either one. But Marchand is at least, I bet Marchand is a shorter conversation.
He could maybe talk him into that, but he couldn't, with Pastrnak, they'd be like, what are you doing?
Look,
like, figure it out.
Hey, Jeremy, he's a great Bruin. Oh, wait, you don't know Brad Marchand? Yeah. He was the left wing on your cup winning team, and he's now your captain. And he's a great Bruin, and he's a free agent at the end of the year. We got to get something for him instead of get nothing for him, and it saves you $6 million. I don't think that's that hard of a sell. Pastrnak might be a tougher one. That's a lot of money. But do I have it backwards, Keith? Like, I don't think you're going to get a ton for Brad Marchand. To me, I got to pick one now. What's easier to do, and who would I rather have? I'd rather have Pastrnak than Marchand these days.
Yeah.
Duh. But you're also not going to get as much for Marchand. Like, you could get a real return for Pastrnak. So do I have it backwards?
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could, but then you're really starting over, and it's one of those. Yeah,
they kind of need to start over.
So maybe that's the argument for it. I just feel like any time the Bruins have traded Joe Thornton for players, didn't work.
No,
Tyler Seguin for players didn't work. Phil Kessel, I guess, in a way, kind of did because you got the draft picks, but they've never traded like a stud player and gotten a really good return, have they? I guess again, Phil Kessel, you got picks that turned into guys, then you ended up shipping both of those guys away.
Right. Even those guys never really lived up to the billing.
So I don't know. I don't love those trades where it's, all right, and we're getting pushback on the text line that he's far from their best player. All right, then who's their best player if it's not Pastrnak?
I mean, maybe,
and if it's not him,
maybe some would say McAvoy.
All right, then he's the second best player, but I bet it. Anyway, if you trade him, I don't know. Like, what are you getting? A bunch of guys? Like, so what does he make, like $11 million? You're probably not swapping him out for another guy at that high end. So are you getting like draft picks and two guys that make six or three guys that make three? Like, I don't know. I think I'd try to figure it out. But I think they've been trying to figure it out. And the results now on the ice are boiling over.
Yeah.
They're not a top three seed in the division anymore.
No. So we're getting a bunch of feedback. 617-779-7937. Text as well on the same number. Guys, I thought you should have traded Marchand a while ago. However, in this case, where did it go?
What do you got?
Well, the whole text line just moved.
They're flying
in. I thought you should have traded Marchand a while ago. However, in this case, I haven't liked Pastrnak. I think you trade him like you would James Harden. There it is. Like, to me.
Got it. People are more down on Pastrnak even at the beginning of the year than I anticipated.
Well, and you're right about this. Yeah. If I'm trading Marchand, it is empowering and emboldening Pastrnak to just say and do what he wants. I'm not playing on a line with this guy. I'm going to keep playing like an a-hole in the offensive zone, like the turnover last night. So you are empowering him, which I don't love, but I also don't want to trade a 50-goal scorer who's been under heart consideration in the past. I mean, Marchand's been under heart consideration in the past, too, but it's been a while.
Yeah, but not only that, I mean, Pastrnak is 28 and Marchand is 36. Like,
yeah.
So that's not really that's a no-brainer.
And let me be consistent. Like, I blamed Chara and Bergeron for a lot of stuff going on in the room. Neither one was my favorite. So you got to say the same thing about Marchand. Does it feel like you have a good leadership structure right now within the team? Is Marchand really cut out for the captain?
Doesn't seem like it. I mean, you already got a coach fired.
Correct.
You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like, how's your track record as captain? Well, 20 games in when they fired the coach, and then we had a decent streak when we were playing bad teams, and now we're right back in the crapper. Like,
they did.
Not great.
They did go around further without Bergeron last year and Marchand as the captain than they did the year prior, but this isn't going so well for my guy, Marchand.
Yeah.
So for people just tuning in, Keith, if they missed it, give us the Bruins scoop one more time.
Basically, the dressing room
it's not a
hockey parlance.
Room.
No, I misspoke earlier when I said locker room.
The dressing room.
The dressing room is a mess. David Pastrnak is at the center of it. Pastrnak doesn't want to play in a line with Marchand, and it could stem from Marchand being maybe critical of David Pastrnak's play this year. So you have the two best players calling each other out. Now one doesn't want to play with the other one, and I'm sure that's a good trickle-down effect to the rest of the guys that are in there too. And then just on the ice, we can see it. They're a mess.
You got to line up. Are you behind Marshy or are you behind Pastrnak? You got to pick sides. Sides are drawn. The whole locker room's a mess. It makes sense. They're playing like a team that has real inner turmoil.
Well, if the players were the same and it's just based on what we're hearing and what we're saying, then you would obviously pick Marchand. But you and I are both talent over chemistry guys,
correct,
which doesn't always work out.
No.
But you at least got to start with the talent and then kind of figure out the rest of it. I mean, I guess I would side overall with Pastrnak, but I'm not saying what he's doing is the right way of going about it.
Yeah. So, again, Marchand was a little mean to Pasta. These big, tough hockey players can't take it.
They really can.
They're the best guys, though, Keith. If there's anybody you never want to have a beer with.
You take one to arbitration, he melts down, has a hissy fit. You call out a guy. Like, the coach calls out a player. He wants to be traded. Like, these guys are soft.
No, I mean, they're the toughest men on ice. I mean, they play. Some of them play almost half the game. Like, the defensemen, sometimes they almost, in a playoff
game,
they almost play. In a playoff game, sometimes they might play, like, half the game.
Nah.
Manly men.
Yeah. I don't know.
A lot of the forwards play like a quarter of the game.
Play a little bit.
Tough.
Play out there a minute or two.
617-779-7937. You can jump in on this. Rich Keefe, Bruins dressing room in turmoil.
Mm-hmm.
Pastrnak v. Marchand. Yeah. Mark in Medford, big Bruins fan. What do you think, Mark?
What's up, guys? Finally a show that's talking about the dumpster fire that is your Boston Bruins.
That's right.
So
that's us.
So if Pastrnak's being a crybaby, I don't want to play with Marchand on this first line. So I'm going to take my ball and go home. You get paid millions of freaking dollars to play hockey. It shouldn't matter what line you're on and who you're playing with, because who's to say he might not say that about the next guy he has to play with on that line. And as far as the rest of this team goes, guys, okay, if that's a problem, okay, so then what's the excuse for the Swiss cheese we call a defense? Okay, because what I saw last night from Lorai, yeah, he scored a goal.
Oh, it was so bad.
If he backed up anymore, he would have been in the net with Swayman.
It was
one of the goals.
It was so bad.
True. No,
so I'll tell you what Razor thinks. Razor told us this yesterday, and you'll be surprised, Keith. Razor was a little more positive about the Bruins than we were.
Would you say he cut into the Bruins?
He sliced them up.
Razor did.
Pretty good.
Razor.
Yeah. No, I get it.
Good.
But he was saying they're really missing the Hamper.
Hamper's good.
Hamper's Lynn.
Well, take it back.
You're doing way too
much. Hamper was good. I thought he was better.
He's fine.
He took a major step back. But then when you compare him to some of the guys you have out there.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're grading on a curve, he's good. I misspoke. I was too excited.
You want him out there. But like, if your whole team falls apart because you're missing the Hamper.
That's on you.
You're not very good. It has been, John Heyman. There's no doubt about
Heyman
that.
On the bees.
So, but Laura, he's not wrong. Laura last night, and he did score the goal. And it was a nice goal in the second period. But both, I'm sorry, in the beginning of the third period.
I look at him as like a lockdown defender.
Oh, my God. Both those goals in the second period were brutal. What is his plus minus, by the way?
Laura?
It's awful. Last I checked, it's been a while. It's awful, though.
Let's see.
Find me a good plus minus on the team.
But I think his stands out. It's been a while since
minus
I've looked
16,
at it.
Minus 16, you're right. Wow. That is the worst on the team. My guy Trent Frederick is a minus 11.
Yeah, he's a minus 6. Not that plus minus is everything. I don't need the hockey hardos yelling at me.
David Pastrnak, minus 9.
Not great.
And he's angry.
Scott's in Rhode Island. Hello, Scott.
Scott?
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Go ahead.
You got anything?
Two things. So the internal issues with Marchand and Pastrnak.
Mm-hmm.
So the thing is, on paper, you look at this team, it's, you know, I've been watching for a few weeks. They're really not that bad. The thing is, there's no chemistry there. You know, there's no cohesiveness. And there's no tape-to-tape passing. And they've resorted to dumping pucks. See, but the problem is they're getting beat to every battle. They're losing every battle.
Well, and last night was so lazy. So Lorai's just spun around like a top. And then the puck goes off the end board. Swayman has no idea where it is. And at least Lorai was back. I mean, he wasn't doing anything to deter the Tampa player breaking away. I think it was Cirelli. But nobody else gets back. Everybody else is dragging ass getting back. So they're right. You're not winning. It's cliche. You're not winning your puck battles. You got to get to the dirty areas, Keith. All these things.
Yeah.
And you got
to
get your ass back and defend. And
well, that's
not,
the thing.
They're not doing that. And that is a reflection on leadership. So he maybe thinks it's Marchand. That's also Sacco. I know he's just an interim coach, but I would have said that about Monty. I'll say it about him.
Yeah, and also at this point, like, you're just piling up losses. And then when things go bad, like, it there's a snowball effect. And I do think the power play overall has to be in their heads. When Raycroft told us they're trending towards the worst power play in team history, that's wild. And then I don't know how you don't then take that and be like, all right, well, we couldn't score 5-on-4. And then that's going to just like weigh on you. And then even when it is even strength, you're still just like, God, we have no advantage when we're supposed to have an advantage. And now you're playing some good teams right now, too. So they're going to capitalize on all the mistakes that you make. And now you find yourself in the spot that you're in.
And by the way, I said this yesterday, like the Bruins' history is not insignificant. It's their worst power play in franchise history going back to the 20s.
Yeah, Milt Schmidt.
that line.
Yeah.
Milt Schmidt is just, he's looking at it going, we were clicking at a higher level
than
this.
Much better, even on our worst day.
My goodness. Dick Clapper? All those guys.
Sure.
Joe's in Dartmouth. Hello, Joe.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Pretty
Thanks
great.
For taking the call.
Yep.
Love the show.
Thank you.
Love the show. I just want to talk about, one, I don't know how McAvoy's skating so much this year. That's my first point. I feel like he's been horrible. Horrible. Like, against Edmonton, he was on the ice for, what, two of the three goals? Horrible pinches. The shorthanded one, he just gives the gives the puck to Van Riemsdyk. But what I wanted to, I would blow this right up. I would move Marchand right now for the best pick I could get. I'd send him over to Pittsburgh, let him play with his buddy Crosby, take a couple first rounders from them, and I'd even be shopping McAvoy. I think the only two guys that are safe right now would be Asta and Sway.
Okay.
Yeah, man, are they really, you think, closer to a blow up than they are an ad?
Is Marchand blowing it up? Like, truly blowing.
I guess it's blowing up the culture wise.
Correct.
You're blowing up
your dressing room, but is it really blowing it up? Like, he's a free agent.
I know, but like, he's only been on the Bruins his entire career, and he is your second best forward still.
Yeah, true. And if you're trading for draft picks, I guess that is you're right. That's blowing it up.
I agree with him on McAvoy though. Like, McAvoy, and maybe this is my own expectations were too high. I thought he was going to consistently be a top 3-5 defenseman in the league.
Yeah,
and I mean, he's the best defenseman on the team.
Yeah, you're paying him like that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He isn't that. And by the way, this gets pointed out from time to time. I think you can work around it, but I guess Linus Ullmark is a real good example that you can't. They all have no movement clauses. So if they want to be, you know, if Marchand says, yeah, you want to trade me and empower this baby, you can't move me. Like, I mean, Marchand can do that.
It could get even uglier.
Pastrnak could do that. McAvoy, Swain, they all could do that.
Mm-hmm.
617-779-7937. Big scoop from Rich Keefe. Pastrnak and Marchand not seeing eye-to-eye. Turmoil in the Bruins dressing room. It helps inform why they've played so poorly lately. They've lost 6 in a row and 7 out of 8. Billy Lanny with all the latest in trending. More of your phone calls. Patriots and Bruins coming up. Plus, a Friday 4-pack of questions for Wild Card Weekend next.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending is brought to you by Timeout Market Boston. It's now 6 losses in a row for the Bruins after falling 4-1 to the Lightning last night. Mason Lauri scored the Bees' lone goal. Bruins are back on the ice tomorrow afternoon and remain in Florida where they will play the Panthers. Puck drop is at 1 o'clock. Celtics look to make it back-to-back wins tonight when the Seas host the Kings. Drew Peterson has been ruled out of tonight's game with a concussion, and Jordan Walsh is questionable with an illness. Tip-off at the Garden is at 7:30. Yesterday, the Patriots interviewed Mike Vrabel for the head coach opening. Today, the Pats will have a virtual meeting with Detroit Lions OC Ben Johnson. Lions DC Aaron Glenn denied the Patriots' request for an interview. 93.7 WEEI-FM is your home for Westwood One's coverage of all NFL playoff games. Wildcard weekend begins with the Texans hosting the Chargers at 4:30 tomorrow, followed by Steelers versus the Ravens. Coverage begins at 4 o'clock. There are 3 games on Sunday. At 1 o'clock, the Broncos visit the Bills. At 4:30, the Eagles host the Packers. And finally, it's Commanders versus Buccaneers at 8 o'clock. Westwood One's coverage on Sunday begins at 12:30. And Notre Dame advanced to the College Football National Championship game with their 27-24 win over Penn State last night. Notre Dame now waits for the winner of tonight's Cotton Bowl matchup between Texas and Ohio State. You can hear the call of that game right here on 93.7. Coverage begins at 7. Kickoff is at 7:30. Experience the essence of Boston's culinary and cultural scene at Timeout Market Boston, nestled in the Fenway. From live music sessions to food and beverage tastings and everything in between, Timeout Market Boston showcases the best of the city under one roof. I'm Billy Lanny. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.